This is Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. It's Wednesday, but because you heard the January 6th hearings at noon yesterday, we're bringing you our Tavern Tuesday series today. It's a partnership with the Wisconsin Historical Society and Old World Wisconsin, where we bring you stories about beer and brewing in our state. For our final installment of Tavern Tuesdays, we'll hear again from Rob Novak. He is the Historic Brewing Experience Coordinator at Old World Wisconsin. Lake Effect's Mallory Chang chats with him about the lasting legacies of beer gardens and tied houses in Wisconsin.
I am not quite familiar what tied houses are. So to start off, what are tied houses? And also, while we're on it, what are beer gardens too? What are these two cultural institutions that Wisconsinites know so well?
Sure. Yeah, they go hand in hand historically because at one point, In history, both would have been instituted or run by actual breweries. Beer gardens themselves, well, we know that they started in Bavaria, and the breweries there, they had these giant lagering caves that lagered their beer over the summer. And by the mid-1500s, they actually were not allowed to brew in the summer. It was basically a rule that they had to follow. So in order to make money in the summer, they decided that they would sell the beer that they had been lagering in their caves. When they built the lagering caves, they would plant chestnut trees above them because they provided a ton of shade and they had very shallow roots so they wouldn't bother the caves themselves. And it just worked out perfectly that it was like a park-like setting. So in Germany, starting in about the 1500s, usually along a river, you'd see these beer gardens pop up. And they became popular very fast. And they were so popular that local tavern keepers instituted a law that beer gardens could sell beer and bread only, but not food, because people were just flocking to them and not going to the taverns. But people started bringing picnics. So early on in beer garden history, it was beer, maybe pretzels, some bread for sale, and you'd bring your own picnic. And that, in Germany, became a tradition. So by the time German immigrants started coming to the United States, they knew what beer gardens were. They used them for social activities, celebrations, just to get together with friends and family, the same things we do today. In Milwaukee, the beer gardens were run by the breweries, Schlitz, Pabst, Blatz. All of them had large beer gardens. Sometimes they evolved into almost like a theme park setting, and they would often have trams that ran out to them from the city. They're usually a couple miles out of the city. So in early Milwaukee history, the mid to late 1800s, this was like a thriving industry. Now, tied houses were similar, but they were not always owned by the brewery. So a brewery would either build a tied house and then rent it out to someone who could run it, or they would supply everything in the bar for the owner of the bar to run it, provided that that person would be selling their beer. You'll see examples of tied houses all around Milwaukee. If you go up and down Brady Street or Water Street, just in any building, usually on a corner, you'll see a little bit of decorative elements, and sometimes you'll see like the brewing medallion. So Miller has the M, Pabst had their logo, Schlitz had the globe. You'll see historic breweries that aren't around anymore, and you'll wonder why that building has that on there, and it's because they were tied to a specific brewery.
That's really interesting. Generally, what does the architecture of former surviving tied houses look like?
Well, there is the idea that if the breweries made the buildings look nice and kind of made them a little bit ornate and just a little bit fancy, that they wouldn't get the reputation of like a tavern or a bar or something like that. And it would also help market that specific brewery. So when you go down and you see like Regano's Roman Coin on Brady Street, it's a really beautiful building. They're usually stone, a little bit of ornamentation around the windows on a cornice or something like that. And it, you know, catch your eye, and they're really beautiful buildings. And once you get inside, you'd see like a long bar. They're usually long and narrow rooms, really ornate bar, a nice back bar. And sometimes the breweries bought everything in there for the owner. You go through some of the records of what the breweries owned as far as stuff. And a lot of it was trims for tied houses, mirrors, decorations, all the way down to like tools they would use behind the bar. So they really kind of locked into the system of creating a space that people wanted to go to, and that space would then have to sell their beer And this lasted, you know, all the way up until Prohibition started. Beer gardens kind of phased out because of the county park system, the temperance movement. Those things played a role in beer gardens kind of fading out before 1900. But the tine houses kept going right up till Prohibition.
What is the major difference between, say, a tied house and a tavern? Is it based on who's funding the building or funding the business? Or what is the large difference there?
The tavern, a regular bar, and bars today, are, you know, they're free to buy from whoever they want to buy from. So you might have a Schlitz tap next to a Pabst tap, next to a Miller tap, or bottles next to each other. And the tine houses, whether it was contractual or a handshake agreement or something, you know, it's all over the map, because these buildings were in big cities, they were in small cities. They usually weren't rural, but they could be in a rural town, you know, because then it would be like the most substantial building in town. But yeah, that's the main difference is, you know, taverns, bars that aren't tied houses would have been serving whatever they wanted, but they would have been supplying all their own materials. Whereas the tied houses, you know, the breweries would come in and say, you know, either we want to buy this property and then lease it out to publican is what they called them when they ran pubs, but didn't own them. Or we noticed that you own this property. We'd like to help you develop it into a bar that will only serve our beer. Therefore, they're tied to the brewery. That's where the term tied house comes from. And it was an English thing. It goes way back before the founding of the colonies, where in England you had chains of pubs that were owned by breweries, and then they were rented out to people to run them. Here, a lot of them were owned by folks who were independent from the brewery, but they were financially supported by the brewery so that they would serve their beer.
Gotcha. Okay. And you mentioned that with beer gardens, they generally were being closed before the 1900s, and tied houses stopped continuing after the passing of Prohibition. So what happened to tied houses and beer gardens after Prohibition passed?
Yeah, Prohibition was, it was the end for tied houses. They ran right up until Prohibition, and then by the time Prohibition ended, the three-tier law was formed, which basically says that there's no vertical integration in the alcohol business because of the three-tier law. So you have the producer, who would be the brewery. You have the wholesaler, or the distributor, who would buy from the brewery and then sell to a retailer. So producer, distributor, retailer, and no one person or one group could own more than any one of those things at a time. So you couldn't own a bar and a brewery, or a distributor and a brewery. And that was their way of busting up basically what could have been a monopoly, what sort of was a monopoly at the time with tied houses. So immediately after Prohibition, those buildings would have all been sold if they were owned by the breweries. And at that point, very few breweries actually survived through Prohibition anyway. A lot of those buildings had already been either turned into something else completely, or they'd been sold as taverns that would open up independent of breweries after Prohibition. In Milwaukee, you had a lot of people have heard of the Palm Gardens, and you still have the Pabst Theater, which Pabst actually did help fund. But you had these really famous places that had been gathering spots for entertainment, for celebrations, for things like that. And that, you know, a lot of those closed. Some stayed open independently. But yeah, the tied house system was tough for the breweries, but it was a good thing for independent bar owners. Beer gardens were basically off the map until Estabrook opened not that long ago, less than 15 years ago, over in Shorewood. So there were like no beer gardens in Wisconsin between Prohibition and 2010-ish. And now people have kind of realized how much fun they are. They're great for communities. They're great for breweries. The proliferation of craft breweries has really helped the beer garden kind of explode in popularity again. But it took a long time.
And at Old World Wisconsin, there will be different brewing experiences around, so you won't just be serving Schlitz or Pabst or one beer like the Tide Houses, but there'll be different brewing experiences. What can visitors expect to experience and to see at the new brewing site?
Well, what you'll experience this summer is the brewhouse being open, and we'll be brewing every day. We'll be kind of going through a lineup of historic beer styles. we'll be tapping casks that we brewed earlier for sampling every day. So you can come and sample what beer might have tasted like, you know, 150 years ago. We also have moved a tavern to the site. It's called Whitnables Tavern, and we moved that down from Old Asherton. The building is here, and it's in place. The exterior restoration will happen this year, and then the interior will hopefully be done sometime next summer. So the tavern's not open yet. Now, Whitnables was never a tide house. It was a rural tavern. We're excited to get that up and running at some point, fingers crossed, next year. And then the beer garden that we'll be creating will be after that, and that'll be tied to our rebuild of our restaurant on site. And then once the beer garden's open, we'll have the ability to kind of recreate that old German experience that has now kind of been taken over by just the multitude of cultures in Wisconsin. Everybody goes to beer gardens, not just Germans. And we're super excited for that. And we'll feature a ton of beers, including some that were actually inspired by Old World Wisconsin. We're excited to see everybody and party some beer.
Sounds really exciting, Rob, especially as the weather gets nicer. Thank you so much, Rob, for being here on Lake Effect. I really appreciate you being here today to talk about tide houses and beer gardens.
Of course. Thanks for having us. We look forward to seeing everybody.
Rob Novak is the Historic Brewing Experience Coordinator at Old World Wisconsin. He spoke with Lake Effect's Mallory Chang. Tavern Tuesdays is a partnership with Wisconsin Historical Society and Old World Wisconsin. Old World Wisconsin's brewing experience is now open to the public. You can find all of our Tavern Tuesday conversations at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.